Welcome to The Watchman, your weekly 60-minute expose on Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times we live, for the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think.
Good evening and welcome to The Watchman. Today, this Wednesday evening, as we continue with our series for the lessons that we pick from the book of Daniel, from the personality of Daniel and his friends Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego as regards the end time. Last week we spoke about a number of things. I told you about how we are living in a Babylonian empire and it's going to be stronger and actually more pronounced as we head towards the end time. And I told you that the Babylonian empire is trying to colonize, so to speak, to colonize us, as it were. I told you that there are certain things you do if you want to change somebody's attitude, and those are things which have been in practice for so many centuries, and actually those are the things which the Babylonian Empire, in which Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego lived, and we are going to learn from them how you can stay true to who you are in spite of all the efforts of Babylon to conquer you. I told you that time that to conquer your way of thinking, to conquer your imagination, and basically to colonize you. And it's not any different from what the colonialists did when they came here. I told you, if you take somebody out of their location, if you change their name, if you change their language, if you change their food, and then you change their belief system or their god, then you will have changed them. And I told you that these people knew how to change the people around them. They knew how to change the people around them. And I told you that the Chaldeans who were in charge of Babylon, the Babylonian Empire, which was the empire that ruled the entire known world at the time, were people who understood these things. And I don't know how, but they did so spiritually, because these are things which over time have been practiced by all sorts of different people, and they've had results. But before I delve into the lesson of today, I just have some news to tell you. First of all, that we are very, very soon going to we're really going to have the website up probably within the next week, and my target is by the time I get back here for the program next week, it shall be up and running, number one. But number two, that we shall have the radio messages there, because some people are having problems with email messages, and I just had to, because some of us use email a lot, but maybe it's because we're kind of, you know, not as young as some of the people who are listening to this program. Maybe we're a bit more advanced in age, but the thing is, so many people have issues with emails, because they have perhaps other ways of communicating. So that has been a problem for quite a number of people, even in regard to partnering sowing seed into some of the things that we are doing. So you tell people, send an email and find out, and somehow people tell you, okay, I really want to, but I don't have an active email address because I use WhatsApp and, you know, all the other faster and perhaps more trendier means of communication. So as a result of that, the website, that one you have to get used to, because not only are we going to be having all the radio messages there for people to get from across the world, because we don't want to limit it to those people. So so not only will we have them for people to get across the world, but it will be better in that as soon as this show is over, by the following morning, let's say by the following day, last night's show is uploaded on the website, so you don't have to wait as it is right now for a whole month, because that's what has been happening. We send messages per month, and right now we haven't even sent the messages for April, but then we shall be sending them immediately on spot by the following day. They are up there, so that's one advantage. The other, of course, is you don't have to, I mean, everybody can get them from across the world. And by the way, we've been getting responses thanks to the emails we've been sending from so many places across the world, Europe, you know, countries in Africa, Nigeria and what, and we've been getting responses from there, and people who are, well, have been listening to it because courtesy of the email thing, so we shall make it easier for them. But still also people who are having problems with email addresses and they want to partner, or they want to sow into the Watchman conference. Now, I decided earlier on never to do this, but for some reason I've been forced to do it, and some partners of mine sat in a meeting and we said that this perhaps is the best way, and that is to give a mobile money number that you can use in case you want to partner or to sow into the Watchman Ministries and you do not have the discipline of keeping an active email address, or because perhaps you're a bit trendier than some of us are. So then you don't have to send an email if you just want to partner or you want to sow into the Watchman Conference. I'm going to give you a number that you can use at any one time, and this is going to be the number that you'll use every time that you want to partner or to sow, to send your partnership and things like that. So now if you don't have to call and ask me how, or rather you don't have to send an email and ask how do I partner, because you just you have the number. You can save this number. I'm going to give it to you right now, and when if you feel like sowing a seed into it, you can sow and say something in time for the reason. If it's for the conference, you please jot it down there that this is for the Watchman Conference, which I told you is on 22nd, 23rd and 24th July. If it is for partnership, do that as well. If it is just a seed for any other reason, fast food, whatever it is, you can just indicate as the reason for your sending. So for now, we'll have an MTN mobile money number, although I'm going to get an Airtel money number pretty soon. And now here it is. The number is 0780 292 555. I'll say it again, 0780 292 555. Now I'll say it again at the end of the program and just say that in case you've missed it. But now let's get into the lesson for today. So I told you that how do we know how not to be colonized, so to speak, colonized in inverted commas, how not to be colonized by the Babylonian system, which is trying to do so and try to draw us in and make us think like them, just like it was in the days of Daniel, when they pick these gentlemen as captives of Judah when they are young. All of them were, it's said that Daniel was around 12 years old, according to history, and his friends were slightly older, but all of them very much in their early teenage. They tried to change them and make them think like the Chaldeans, to teach them the language and the literature of the Chaldeans, teach them the history. And I told this is precisely what the colonialists did. They come here, they tell you about, you know, they teach you their history, the British history. So they tell you, you know, they teach you all these things, European history and what. And it's just basically changing you to make you think that their way of doing things is the best way of doing things. And they change all these five things I told you about them now. So you know that that is the plan of Babylon, to change your way of thinking, to change what you believe, and therefore in a way to create, to make you part of their kingdom. Now of course initially the kingdom of Babylon was an actual kingdom with one political leader called Nebuchadnezzar. I told you now it's going to be more like not so much an actual kingdom, although it is going to be that as well, because there's going to be a one world government and it will be led by one king, so to speak, who is going to be the Antichrist. So in a way the Babylon is being replicated again, and all these things that were there are going to be here, the same thing. I told you what they are last time, the humanism, the you know, I told you the form of the 666, Nebuchadnezzar's image. The Bible says the image of the Antichrist, people will have to worship the image of the Antichrist, which will be built, and those who do not will be killed. In the days of Daniel, those who did not worship the image that Nebuchadnezzar had put up were thrown into a furnace of fire, and that's what happened to Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego and things like that. So now I am going to tell you how Daniel and his friends stayed true. Daniel lived, and he did not just live, he was victorious, and he was on top of the province, or he ruled over the province of Babylon, which was like the capital of the Babylonian Empire, and Daniel ruled over it and was in charge of all the governors of Babylon for almost all his time. Of course, in the days of the emperor Belshazzar, he did not rule with him because he was kind of, he didn't like the direction Belshazzar had taken. But he came back later when Belshazzar was overthrown and Darius took over. And Daniel stayed in that empire and died an old man, according to history, about 86 years old, having been on top throughout his life and lived a very good life, but stayed true to his God. Now that's precisely what we are called to do, to not just to survive in there and say they are trying to take me over. No, you're called to thrive, not to survive, to be on top, but be on top even in imposing your way of thinking on them rather than them imposing their way of thinking on you. Now this is precisely what these captives of Judah did, and I'm going to show you some of the things that they did to make that possible. So I'll start with this. One of the things that happened in the Bible is these people were brought and taken to be taken care of by the king of the kings, by the head of the king's eunuchs. Now, and they were given a portion of the king's delicacies. That is the king, what the king ate, everything that the king ate, Daniel and his colleagues were given a portion of it. Now that is so unusual, because why would these trainees be given a portion of the king's delicacies? But I'll read for you from the scripture, from Daniel chapter 1 verse 5, which says, "And the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of that time they might serve before the king." Now from among those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. To them the chief of the eunuchs gave names. I told you what that means. He gave names, Belteshazzar, and I told you what the meaning of those names in the previous program. I'm not going to go to that through that right now. Daniel, they give you a name which associates you with their gods. And Daniel means God is my judge, but the name they gave him is Belteshazzar, which means Bel is the keeper of secrets. Now they are trying to ascribe his gifts, because they knew that he had the ability to interpret dreams. They are trying to ascribe it to their own gods. Now that's why they changed their names. So this is part of the colonization process, so to speak. And so I'll read verse 8 now. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into the favor and the goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, "I fear my lord the king, who has appointed your food and drink, for why would he see your faces looking worse than the young men who are your age? Then you would endanger my head before the king." So Daniel said to the steward whom the chief of the eunuchs had sent over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days, and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearances be examined before you, and the appearance of the young men who eat the portion of the king's delicacies. And as you see fit, so deal with your servants." So he consented with them in this matter and tested them 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. Thus the steward took away their portion of delicacies and wine that they were to drink, and gave them vegetables instead. Now, what's so important about Daniel refusing the king's food? Now, one of the first things you're going to do if you're going to avoid being colonized by the Babylonian Empire is you have to tame your appetite. Now, the important thing here is that when you take somebody away from the kingdom, a young man who comes from a modest family in Judah, and bring him into Babylon, which is the most powerful city in the world, and give him the same food that the most powerful man in the world eats. What point are you trying to do? Is this just by chance that these people decide that you're going to eat the same thing that the king eats? No, it isn't. They are trying to tame their appetites. Okay? There is something that the devil knows, that if he can change your appetite and give you an appetite for something, then he can use that thing to control your life. And by appetite, I don't mean the word appetite, meaning how much you eat or don't eat. And I don't just mean food. I mean appetite for so many things. Because it's important to know that they did not refuse the food because there's something wrong with the food per se. because they were giving them meats and wines which the king ate. And we know later on in Daniel's life that he ate meat and drank wine. How do we know that? Because the Bible tells us when he was fasting, he spent 3 weeks without eating meat and without taking wine. So we know that it was not about the food that the king was giving him, but it was about a statement. So now when you're a young person and they bring you and they give you the food which the most powerful man in the world eats, and you say, no, I don't want that food. Suddenly, you even create in yourself, you make yourself a center of attraction. People say, who is this person? Because people expect, imagine if you took a street boy out from there and came and gave him a very nice meal and he says, no, I don't want your food. You say, what kind of person is this? You immediately know that this is not somebody you are going to toss left, right and center. Now, I want you to know that the Bible says in Philippians 2 and verse 13 that God works in us to will and to do according to his good pleasure. Now, to will means to want to do. Okay, to want to do something according to his good pleasure. First of all, he works in you to want, to desire it, to love it, to kind of get fascinated by it. Then it becomes your interest. Then when it becomes your interest, then you start doing it. But the reason it became your interest in the first place is because God is calling you to do something along that area, and it presents itself as an interest. I'll give you an example. When I first heard the message of end time in 1996 from a man called Barry Smith, who was teaching at KPC, now Watoto Church, when I first heard that message, and I've given this example a number of times, it stuck in my mind and it never left. I listened to the I was staying with a sister of mine who was I couldn't afford that, just finished school. So I was staying with a sister of mine who I told to buy the tapes. So I listened to those tapes over and over again until I could actually preach the man's message word for word at some stage. Now everybody else listened to the tapes once, some did not even listen to them, of the people who were in our household. But because God was calling me to teach this end times, he worked in me to create an appetite for the end time message. So I got fascinated by it, and I started studying the book of Revelation way back. I started studying the book of Daniel and so many things. Now every time I had anybody, I would just tune TV and I hear anybody teaching end times, I would tell everybody to shut up if I could, if I had the power to. But the point is, I would basically listen to it because an appetite had been created in me. By who? By the Holy Spirit. Because God works in us to will or to like or to desire to do something, and then later on to do it according to his good pleasure. Now, if I was indifferent to the message of the end times, I wouldn't have been preaching here. But if God is calling me to do something, he will make sure that I am not indifferent to it, because he plants in me a desire which is divine, and which desire kind of controls me. Now, after that, after I listened to that message, after I turned on, every time I kept on reading the Bible, I would be directed to read in what are called the apocalyptic books. And so I dig in there and read about them and read in Ezekiel. And even when I was just born again, I was reading Ezekiel and what. And it didn't make much sense, of course. But because, something is being bathed inside you. Now, God works in us to will and to do according to his good pleasure. That's Philippians 2:13. Now, just so that you know, the devil works in much the same way. He creates in people appetites which then drive them and make them do things that they would otherwise not do. I was listening to this lady who was part of the Illuminati, and she left and was talking a bit about exposing the Illuminati and how they do their things. And all those celebrities you see on TV and, you know, all those things that are the things that, you know, draw the people of the world, and all these top celebrities and the rich men and the most powerful people in the world and the people who say everything and it is news and so on and so forth. Now, when they notice that somebody is a target for those people, a target for the devil, and those groups or those secret groups, the Freemasons, the Illuminati and so on, and they always target people who have talents, people who are on the brink of something big, people who can do something. For instance, if you have a powerful musical gift and they notice that you're on the brink of, you know, getting somewhere, they will approach you just before you get there, and they'll try to lure you into their thing. Of course, sometimes if you don't, they'll try to fight you. But then again, of course, if you have the power of the Holy Spirit, you always win, because the Lord always wins. But now this lady says they take you in there, and they take you to their parties. You know, they have island parties off the coast, mostly of, you know, off the coast of California. They have these islands and what, and they take you there, and there you are with all these top celebrities. Now you're just a young person, and with some gift, but somebody who has been targeted to join them. So they take you there, they show you all the wonderful things that money can do. I mean, all the lavishness, the parties, the drinking, you know, having servants meeting your every whim, having very beautiful girls if you're a man, and things like that. And basically they show you what they want you to see as the good life, and that is supposed to create in you an appetite. Now, when they show you the good life and say, man, this is the life, this is what everybody wants to be, this is, you know, this is what you should aspire to be like. Now you look at them, they are television celebrities, they are powerful people, they are top politicians, everything they say makes news, and then you see the life that they lead and you think, wow, this is powerful, this is what I want to be. Now, then after they have shown you that good side of all that, they let you be. They just tell you, okay, now it's okay, now you can go. Now, when you go away, they don't pursue you. They let you come and pursue them. So afterwards, you say, no, I have to have this. This is what I have to be. I have to join this group. I have to join this party. I have to be a part of all this. So you start pursuing them, knocking on their doors. How can I join? How can I be a part of you? Then they first make you walk around. But they know what they are doing. It's all part of trying to make sure that you're interested enough, so to speak. Now, when they realize that, now you've really picked up an interest, now you're ready to do anything, to become a part of them, then they tell you, okay, now, this is where it is. This is how you become a part. Then from there, she said, from that moment when you decide you want to become a part of them, that is where the fun, apparent fun, ends. After that, the next thing is rituals. They take you, rituals. Now what? You're going to do this, drink this blood, do this, go this, do this, and they make them do all sorts of rituals and all sorts of degrading things. And then afterwards, they kind of make you look that this is the only ritual you have to do, and then afterwards it is fun. But that is not there is no more fun after that, because the devil, people have to understand, the devil is a sadist. He does not want anybody to have fun in this world. If you think the devil wants you to have fun, you're joking. He's going to present dung or something before you, wealth. If you want to become rich, do this. The moment you step in there, that is the beginning of a downfall. He's going to enslave you. You have to keep on doing the next thing, doing something else, and then you have to continue going deeper and deeper and deeper. And if you don't, not only do you lose everything that you had, but you also you can also die. They actually threaten to kill them. Of course, they don't have that power, but they threaten that they will kill them. So now you start ritual one ritual after the other, and only very few people escape from it and say, no, this is it. But the only escape route out, by the way, is getting born again. If you just say, I've stopped, I'm not interested, they will kill you. But of course, when you get born again, then now suddenly you have angels protecting you, and they can no longer do anything. There are people who have come out of them. Amy Grant was one of them, the musician, coming out, but immediately jump out and get born again. Now, all the power of the devil no longer, because God has legal authority over you, because you've surrendered your life to him. Now, that way, they can no longer do all the things they want you to, they wanted to do to you. They can try to scare you and blackmail you in the bad press you, and make people think you're a very bad person in the media. They can do all that. But in actual sense, they cannot attack you if you're a child of God, because now God has control over you. Now, the thing is, but what I'm trying to say is, they create in you an appetite, they take you in there, they take you into the ritual, then you get deep. Now you see people on television and you think they're having fun. They are not. They are in slavery, absolute slavery to the devil. There is no fun. There is no fun. Now that's the deception of the devil. When you think that the life you have is not good, and the life other people have is good. But that's not the truth. The truth is, the only good life is in Jesus Christ. And I know that, I am convinced of that, and nobody can convince me otherwise, because I have listened to people, I have seen people, people who have apparent success, and even top sporting success, and even on television they will say it. I remember, Boris Becker, the
former Wimbledon for tennis star. He was asked after winning his second Wimbledon title, and now you'd think that is the pinnacle of success. You win Wimbledon title, which is perhaps one of, I mean, perhaps the biggest in tennis or thereabout, and you've gotten all these millions of dollars and you're rich, you have all these endorsements. And they asked him that, what's your biggest challenge? And he said his biggest challenge is keeping away from committing suicide. I mean, now I'm never going to have any thought of committing suicide because I am happy with who I am. I don't have to have the millions, although I will have them through the plan of God. And when I have them, they will not take away from my joy. I will have them and have my joy and have the joy of the Lord as well. Okay, I will have them on my terms, not on anybody else's terms. Now, the thing is, so you think, you idealize what people have out there because they are put to you in soap operas and you know, entertainment news and the E channel which so many people watch and all these channels which you watch and what, and so you think that is the life, but that isn't the life. Now Daniel understood that these people are trying to tame my appetite. How do you get a young boy and give him the food which the most powerful man in the world eats? Because Nebuchadnezzar was the most powerful man in the world. Then you get young kids and give them this food. Why do you do that? Because you're trying to create in them an appetite. And then when you create an appetite, you use that same thing to control them. Now, some people, I've seen people who have given up their values because they created in them an appetite which was beyond what they could manage. I'll give you another example because I have to push this point home. And this is an example actually of somebody that I, there's for instance, you're a young girl, okay? Now there's somebody who, there's this man who is interested in you, but I mean, you have values, you were raised in a good family, you were raised in a Christian family, you know what is right and what is not right, and you know the man is married and there's no way you're going to go out with him because you don't do things like that. I mean, you have values, you're a person of values. But now, but this man is determined to actually get you one way or the other. But you see, you're at campus, you're living at a hostel, you're eating you know, whatever food you can afford, chukumi chukumi and all that, and those things, and you're comfortable within your means, eh? And as long as you stay within that means, you can keep your morals intact as long as they don't take you out of there, take you out of your habitat, so to speak. Because in your habitat, you know, I mean, perhaps your parent or your guardian is paying your school fees and giving you some little pocket money, which you survive, not the best. You don't have a flat screen in your room and things like that. But yeah, you're okay. You watch television in the common room if you have to watch what everybody else wants to watch and so on and so forth. So you're not living an extraordinary life, but you're a person of values heading somewhere. Now, somebody once comes and wants to unsettle you. Now, I know this happened to somebody. So this man goes and tells a lady who was employing young girls to do certain things, actually employing them into the modeling industry. So he comes and tells this lady comes and tells this young girl that, you know, I want to give you a job, you know, in our modeling, you know, agency and stuff like that. And I will be paying you this much. And it was quite an amount of money. And the lady says, no, me, I don't want to model. That's not my thing. It's not the kind of job I'm going to do. So, she goes back to the drawing board and says, okay, it's okay. If you don't want to model, that's fine. You just come and you do some clerical work here and, you know, register this and do that. And, you know, then they give you an office and then we'll give you this money. And it does not make any sense. You're not doing anything that somebody else cannot do. I mean, what you're doing is ordinary. It doesn't require any skill, but they are giving you a lot of money. And somehow they take you out of your habitat. So now they give you a job. Within a short time, now you have you know, a small car. You've moved out of the hostel. Now you're renting a flat. Then suddenly you can no longer eat. Of course, you can no longer eat that food which you used to eat, because now, you know, you're serious. You've touched some money. But the other man, the other rich guy, is paying for all these things and he's determined to have you. But the only way he's going to have you is by taking you out of your natural habitat. Now, this girl, then one day, that's when they present it to her. That, you know, actually, this man is interested in you. She says, what? That man? Where am I going with such a man? Me, I'm a person of values and what, you know? They say, okay, if you insist on that, then you're going to have to lose your job and what? Then suddenly you realize that you were building castles in the air and everything is on the verge of breaking away. Now, how do I go back to the hostel? My friends used to come to my flat and, you know, they would admire me. Now I have, you know, flat screen. I have what, you know, the flat is, you know, all those things. And now they make it look that, okay, now we are taking this away. You're going back to your hostel room. You're going back to eating chukumi chukumi. You're going back to, you know, and everything is, bam, is going to disappear suddenly. And guess what? This young girl, I'm telling you a true story. This is not just whatever. So this young girl actually is supposed to give in. And then she gives in to this man. And when the man, well, after a few months, the man has had enough of her. And she loses the job anyway because he stops paying. He was the one paying all that salary and all that fakeness that they had put around, making her think that they want her for something she was doing. So she gave in. Then after she had given him, the man, after some time, lost interest, so he stops funding, and then you lose your job anyway, and you end up back in the hostel anyway, back eating chukumi chukumi anyway, and so on. But now, with a very broken spirit, and everything has turned around now. That's how all these things work. And if only these girls knew it. I mean, the point is, somebody wants to create in you an appetite for something you cannot have except through him. Okay, so he's going to raise you up to a level where you will always need him to survive. And once he does that, he has you. So Daniel says, no, for us we want vegetables and water. Because even if they don't give them vegetables and water, they can get vegetables from stepping out of there and going into the garden and picking vegetables. So he says, I am not going to eat the king's food. I want vegetables. Not because there was something wrong with the meat. Not because it was, some defiled meat or what. No, because later on he actually ate meat and drank wine. The Bible tells us that. But he did that on his own terms. Even these people whom they try to take out of their habitat, they can get to those levels on their own terms. If you had probably kept your morals, God had something powerful for you. You'd probably finish school, get a job, get all those things on your terms, where you're not depending on somebody. And then you have all those nice things in due time. But you see, if somebody wants to destabilize you or to colonize you, so to speak, he will come and take you out of your comfort zone. But that's not the word I want to use. Take you out of your habitat and take you. So Daniel knew that. How? I don't know. By the Spirit of God, I suppose. So that's why he and his friend said, we want vegetables and water. Because he refused to let those people create in him an appetite that they would then use against him. I know some people who have gotten appetites for cars that they cannot afford, and that makes them thieves, or even so many things. I mean, you imagine if you're a young, beautiful girl and you get an appetite for things you cannot afford. I mean, that's going to send you all sorts of places, and you know what I mean. But then you can decide not to get it and say, I will go at God's pace. I will get there in good time. And when I get there, I will have all those things on my terms. Nobody is going to enslave me because of a good car, because of a good house, because of that. I will get, because God, of course, wants us to have all these things, but on, you know, within a time. So, you know, you have appetites for travel, for place. I mean, things which you, for clothes you can't afford. Some people have appetites for affection. And I've seen it even in ministry. Somebody is doing legitimate ministry. Okay, now I'm here on radio doing ministry, and you're listening to me because I'm doing the work of God. And as long as I'm here doing the work of God, somehow everything is taken care of. Radio program is paid for by you people, by the way. Thank you so much. I don't pay any money to be on radio. The partners who send their money is the money we use to pay being on radio, as well as pay to produce these messages which we send out and what, through the partnership. Why? Because I'm moving at God's pace. Now, somebody comes and tells me, no, this message is too good. You should not be on radio now. You should be on television. I'm going to put you on what? And this and that. Then suddenly, he creates in me an appetite that is above where God wants me for now. Okay? Now, the point is, I'm going to be on television. At some stage, God has told me that. But when God tells me to go on television, He will provide for me just as well as He's providing for me now that I'm on radio where He has told me to be. You understand? Now, if I hurry up and try to expand and be big and what, I get out of my habitat where I'm comfortable. Now, that's what has caused so many men of God to become bafere. Because suddenly I have television bills which I cannot afford, okay? And yet I want to be on television because somebody told me to be on television. And as soon as he told me, I got excited and the person is not going to offer anything else. If God tells me, he will make, I will always have the money to be there. So I'll wait until he tells me. If anybody else tells me, then I will have to depend on them to keep me there. And of course, you can't depend on man. I mean, caste is anybody who depends on man. So you understand. So that's how so many ministers have entered things they were never supposed to do, and they have become buffeted. I see even on international television, where a man comes every program, he's talking so money, so bring money now. We are selling this. Now we are selling anointing oil. Now people are here selling water from Israel, doing what? And all that is buffeted. And why are they doing it? Because they got into things which were out of where God has set them. When God has set you in some place, you will always be comfortable there. If you try to move faster than God, you're exposing yourself to things you will not handle. And therefore, you will enter into all sorts of... I'm telling you the things people have gotten into in the name of trying to be big. Some of them have been drawn into, buffeted, as I told you. Some of them, of course, into all these fake orphanages. Some of them even into homosexuality. Because apparently there's money, and all because you stepped out of your natural habitat. Now, I'll tell you something. As long as this is where God wants me, this is where I'm going to be. I'm not going to rush, and that is true for everyone. And I'm just giving this as an example in ministry, even if you're not in ministry, even if you're out there, okay? That dream house that you want, the Bible says He gives us the desires of our heart. Just take it at God's pace. You will get there, and when you get there, you will get there on your terms and with the joy of the Lord, not with somebody showing you have to do this, you have to do this now, you have to do this now, you have to do this, and all these things, and then they draw you into things which are going to take you off. Now, this is a very important message. This is why I'm dwelling on it. It's just one of the 8 things that I have for you that Daniel did to keep himself within. To keep himself within the ways of God, within doing the things that in the way that God wanted him to do them. But it is extremely important that you appreciate that never let anybody create in you an appetite that you cannot sustain through the means of God, or through, of course, through the means of God you can sustain it, but as you know, according to the measure of faith that you have. So move according to that measure. Don't try to stretch yourself. Don't try to be too big. Okay? Don't try to have all these things that you're juggling. You're juggling all these balls and trying to make things. That's how people who were once straight become crooks. Because you get into, you're building 3 houses, yet you could build 1. Okay? And that's even how so many people lose things, because they get an appetite to go ahead of themselves. And then they don't go slowly. And if they went slowly, they would get there. But you see, that's not how we generally think as Ugandans. We want to put up appearances. So somebody would comfortably build 1 house and finish it, and then relax, then start on another. No, wants to build 5 at the same time. Why? So that people say, wow. Then he goes and then mortgages everything, gets loan from a bank, then he cannot pay it, then he loses everything. And why? Because they created in him an appetite that was unhealthy. Anyhow, so Daniel comes and he says, no, I am not going to eat the king's food. I will eat vegetables. Why? Because I can get vegetables anytime. But later on, when he was governor of the province of Babylon, he was eating the best food. On his terms, he ate food. He was eating the best food and drinking the best wine, but not on the terms of the Babylonians. So now that is one thing you have to learn if you are going to stay true to who you are in this end time. If you are going to stop Babylon from conquering you, you are going to learn how to stay true to who you are, even within your means. Okay? Don't try to stretch yourself. I mean, believe God to take you step by step. And if you do, He will. You know, if you do, you will. The things that you see, the wonderful things, were built over time. They were built over time. And it's not wise for anybody to step so far ahead of himself, because you risk losing everything. And even if you get all the things that you desire, you'll never be happy. You'll get them with all the sorrows attached to them. But the Bible says the blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he attaches no sorrow to it if you go at his pace. Okay, now that's it. So Daniel knew how to tame his appetite. And I know so many people's lives have been destroyed because they got an appetite for the wrong thing. You know, some young man got an appetite. Somebody took him, and I don't know how people get into these things. Then he started taking drugs. Then one day he went and got heroin and took heroin, and that was the end of him. His life is destroyed because the devil convinced you to go and do it that once. And once you do it that once, then he has created in you, and you become a complete nuisance. And some people, you could get yourself into an appetite for alcohol that is destroying your life and things like that. But God wants to create in you a good appetite. Some people go and you see a preacher and you get an appetite to become a man of God, and that is powerful, and that's how great people are made. Okay, or even an appetite for business, or you see, you know, somebody who is a good musician and you get an appetite for good music, you understand? And that's how people develop themselves. And parents do these things, and you'll know that. For instance, Tiger Woods' father started showing him golf when he was 3 years old, and he created in him an appetite to play golf. And eventually, he became the world's best golfer. So, you understand what all this is about. So, I'll move to the next thing. Now, there are certain things that happened. Now, when Daniel, later on, interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dream, the king appointed him to be ruler over Babylon. And there's something important that Daniel did. Because after he had interpreted the dream, then the Bible says, I'm reading from Daniel chapter 2 and verse 46. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face, prostrate before Daniel, and commanded that they should present an offering and burn incense to him. I told you these were humanists. So, Daniel, the king is trying to bow down before Daniel. Then the king answered Daniel and said, truly your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and the revealer of secrets, since you could reveal this secret. Then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many great gifts, and he made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and the chief administrator over all the men of Babylon. Now Daniel gets promoted, but look at what Daniel did. Verse 40. Also, Daniel petitioned the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. Now, when the king promoted Daniel to be the ruler over the province of Babylon, the richest province in the whole world at the time, Daniel told the king, okay, now I want you to appoint my colleagues to work under me. Now, this one of the most greatest secrets you're going to learn in how to do this is to surround yourself with people who think like you. Make sure you have people around you who think like you. That's what Daniel did. He told the king, okay, thank you very much, but I'm not going to be working with these Chaldeans of yours. I want you to set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to work with me, under me, directly under me. And then that's how it was. Of course, because the king was excited after the dream was interpreted, he could do anything that Daniel told him to do at the time. Okay, so Daniel made sure that he surrounded. Now I'll tell you this, the Bible says, do not fool yourself. Bad company corrupts good habits. And do not fool yourself. It's very easy to think that you can be among people who think one thing and you think the other. But I'll tell you that is impossible. The Bible says, do not be fooled, bad company corrupts good habits. So if you are going to stop yourself from being corrupt, you have to surround yourself with people who think like you. And they are the people from whom you will get advice, on various number of issues, financial advice, marriage advice, you know, things like that. What, you know, when you want counsel, because we all need counsel. I mean, what business should I indulge in? Should I go and start doing farming, or should I, you know, get into tourism? I know, things like that. You must surround yourself with people who believe like you, who are believers like you. If you get advice from people who are not believers, it will affect your way of thinking over a period of time. Now you'll say, okay, no, we just talk about this, but you know, I know he's, you know, me, I'm a Christian, for him he's not a Christian, but it's okay for me, I'm just like this, and yeah, but we are friends. Okay, you're friends, but you sit with him all the time. Then, you're married, okay, and you're happily married, and I mean, the thought of adultery has never even crossed your mind. Until you sit with these people who make it look like, man, how can you just be with one woman when there are all these nice women? At the beginning, you resist it and say, no, me, I'm not like that. For me, I'm a Christian and I'm happy with my wife and that's all I need. But if you keep on listening to them, I guarantee you eventually their standards will rub off of you. And eventually, you also start looking at other women. It's just a matter of time. So don't deceive yourself, as the Bible says. Bad company corrupts good habits. So make sure that you always surround yourself with people who are like-minded. And I know that if I can change somebody's surrounding, I can change them over a period of time. And I do that all the time. A lot of times I do it. When some of you send me emails asking that, you know, tell us, somebody saying, I'm having all these bad dreams, I'm dreaming when somebody is choking me and what. And sometimes the first thing I ask is, which church do you go to? Because if you go to churches where they are teaching the devil, you are going to end up with the devil, sleeping with the devil in your bed. Because there are churches which know what the devil is doing, but they never know what God is doing. Who, even if Jesus stood in front of them, they would never notice him. But if a demon stood, they would quickly know that, you know, their eyes and ears are alert to the move of the devil. But they are dulled completely to the move of God. Now, if you go to such churches, then you'll have those dreams of the devil is strangling me and what. How can the devil strangle you? I mean, really a child of God? But you see, because you fill your mind with that, and you're thinking that. So sometimes somebody will ask me a question. I'm going through this. This is happening. This is this. I'm dreaming this. Everything. Then I ask them the first thing, which church do you go to? Some of them answer. Some of them don't answer. But those who don't answer are the ones actually have learned something from the question. Because sometimes, you know, so many times Jesus answered questions with questions. So sometimes you ask me a question and ask you a question, which is going to, in answering that question I've asked you, you will have answered yourself. So if I tell you what church do you go to and you don't answer, you go and look for the answer. When you understand why I asked you that, because I don't just ask things anyhow. When you understand why I asked you that, then you know that you are supposed to be beyond certain things. If you go to churches where they are always telling you your curse, what, we are breaking curses, come and we break your curses, what, you are always going to be like that, rotating, moving from one apparent curse to the other, and you'll never experience a blessing. Why? Because you don't talk about a blessing. What you focus on is what grows in your life. Okay? If you focus on the fact that you're blessed, and the Bible says you are, I mean, Ephesians 1:3, you're blessed with all the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, if you focus on that, you will see blessings. Now, I don't know anywhere in the New Testament where it says you're cursed. It is not there. Okay? It actually says Jesus became a curse for us so that we, through him, might have the blessings of Abraham in Christ. Galatians 3:13 and 14. So, I want you to show me anywhere in the New Testament where anybody was breaking a curse. Show it to me anywhere in the New Testament. It is not there. There is no, I don't know where people get the. So then somebody teaches you curses, you're cursed, cursing what? Curse. The Bible says Jesus became a curse for me. Because in the Old Testament, somebody who hung on the cross was cursed, and somebody who was bought for 30 pieces of silver was a slave. So he became a slave for me so that I can be a prince. He became cursed for me so that I can be blessed. Now tell me, in the New Testament, after the death of Jesus, anybody, Peter, Paul, Jude, James, who talked about cursing? But you see, that's what people are teaching in churches. Why? Because they are not rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, if somebody comes and tells me they are not seeing success in their business, success in their work, success in the things they are doing, and the first thing I'll ask you is, which church do you go to? If you tell me you have demons strangling you and what, how can a demon come and strangle me? Me? What? The Bible says, how, where did the devil pass to come and strangle me? Doesn't he have people to strangle? He has a whole kingdom of people who follow him. Yeah, he follows Jesus Christ. Now, I don't expect the devil to come and strangle me, and he's not going to come. You understand? Now, you might say that, yeah, you see, but you know what? But it is because you're listening to the wrong things all the time. Now, if you come here and listen to the word of God, then you go tomorrow and they tell you you're cursed. Then you listen to the word of God. Then tomorrow they say you're cursed. Then word of God, then you're cursed. Then word of, eventually, you'll stay stagnant because you're taking one step forward and two steps backwards. And I'll tell you this, that two glasses, I mean, if you get 10 glasses of clean water, and you just add half a glass of dirty water, that becomes dirty water immediately. So the point is this: if you listen to anybody who is telling you all those, you know, negative things, those whatever things of your caste and your what, and you know, you are Sirana and what, you know, how a child of God, I mean, really, who Jesus died for, how do you Sirana when the world is full of what, people who don't know God? How can I, a servant of God, say that I can't be cursed? I am beyond cursed. Jesus became a curse for me. Amen. So you have to believe that. You have to believe that you're blessed. You have to focus on the blessing. Now, you have to, and then the reason people think those things is because they surround themselves with people who don't teach the right things. Even, and this is true for the world, okay? This is true for the world, for people who will change your values and make you think like them and things like that. But it's also true for the church people. There are people in churches who are so interested in hearing that there is something wrong with them. If you tell them that you're a child of God, you're blessed, they don't want to hear that. You come and tell them that there is something disturbing you. You are what? Come and I break that curse. They will come in their thousands. And that's the gospel they want to hear. That it is the gospel of slavery. It is the gospel that is going to keep people enslaved. The truth is that you are not cursed. If you show me anywhere it is in the New Testament that somebody was cursed and somebody broke a curse, I will resign from the Watchman and I will not teach on radio again. I will resign from all this. I mean, where do people get these things from? It's not there in the New Testament. Okay? And the New Testament is the covenant under which you belong. You do not belong to the old covenant. Now, of course, you say that was God, that is the Bible, yes. But covenants separate everything. And there's an example I give all the time when I'm talking about different covenants. Now, there's this gentleman who had a house girl, okay? But he was a single man. So he had a house girl, and I mean, she came and she would, I mean, wash the house and clean things and everything. So you go to visit him and there is this house girl. So you tell her, get me tea, get me what, and you order her around because she's a house girl. Now, the same, eventually that gentleman decided to marry that house girl. So now she became a wife. Okay? Now, it's the same girl, it's the same man, it's the same house. But you can no longer order her around because now she's a wife. The covenant that governs a house girl is different from the covenant that governs a wife. Now, since she became his wife, you have to talk to her with respect because this gentleman is your friend. So if you go there, initially she was a house girl, you could talk to her like a house girl. But now she's a wife, so you have to talk to her respectfully because she's now Mrs. You understand? Now, it's the same girl, it's the same man, it's the same house. But it's a different covenant. Now that's how it is with the old and the new covenant. It's the same God, it's the same man, okay? But it is a different covenant. David and Moses and what, were not under the covenant where they are sons and daughters of God. None of them was that. They were all servants of God. That is the covenant that governed them. Now, the Bible clearly says they looked forward to this wonderful time when these people who are alive in these days, what sort of privileges they will have in this new covenant, because God had just given them a sneak peek is what I meant to say, of what it is going to be like in our days. Now, for us who are in these days, the Bible says even angels look for, what sort of times these are, even angels desire to look forward, to look into these things. Now, the people who are living in them, the people who are actual sons and daughters of God, are going back to the Old Testament to put themselves under bondage. Yet they have a covenant. Now, it's like this wife putting herself under the covenant of a house girl. I'm Nange, me, I was a house girl, but now you're a wife, which is different. You've been promoted. Okay, not necessarily promoted, but okay, it's a different thing. Okay, you're no longer a servant, now you are, a joint heir in this house. Okay, now you have a say. Initially, you did not have a say, now you have a say. Now, these are different covenants. So now, understand this. Don't surround yourself, and I'm saying this because I get so many questions of people who are asking me things which they should not be asking me if they were going to the right churches, if they were going to the right places where they are taught the right word of God, the true word of God, which makes them sons and daughters of God. But they keep on asking these questions because they are in darkness. And why have they been kept in darkness? Because they have been taught things that are not true gospel. They are not the true gospel of God. Okay? Now, the gospel of God is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. So, do not surround yourself with two lessons from Daniel. Number one, tame your appetite. Okay. Number two, surround yourself with like-minded people. When you sit out to have a cup of coffee and what, is it with people who are non-believers who are going to be talking about rubbish? Or is it with people who are believers who are going to be talking about the Bible? Who are going to be talking about, something productive? Or who are going to be discussing marriage from a Christian perspective? Are you being influenced in your marriage decisions, in your business decisions, in your home decisions by people who are not born again? Or are you talking to people who are born again, who will tell you, no, this is how Christian marriage is, and they will give you a scripture? Because that's how you are going to build who you are. Now, if you follow, Babylon is using people around you to try and influence you. So they come and tell you, if the wife is disturbing, you go and find another woman. Now, the first time you will not do that because you're Christian. But if you continue listening to them and you continue surrounding yourself with such people, eventually you'll go and do it. Okay? So make sure you surround yourself with people who are like-minded, people who are going to lead you into the way of God. Even for, casual moments when you host people to your home and they are there. Make sure there are people who think like you, people who, have the same values that you do. Now, I'm running out of time. I'll talk about, by the way, there are 8 things I have. I'll talk about the rest, hopefully all of them, in the next program. 8 things that you must do to stop yourself from being colonized by Babylon. Okay, and Babylon being the kingdom that will eventually have the Antichrist as its king. The worldly kingdom, which presents itself through impressions, through opinions, through arguments, and generally through standards, standards which are not of God. Okay, so somebody presents to you a standard and says, no, this is how it is supposed to be. You're homophobic. Then after some time, you say, I think it's not a good thing to be homophobic. So you say, now I'm going to accept homosexuals. But then, that's the standard of the world. What is the standard of the Bible? Stay true to the standard of the Bible at all times. Now, there is a Babylonian empire which is trying to colonize you the way they tried to colonize Daniel. But just like Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, or Azariah, Mishael, and their name is, Hananiah, just like those people, you have the ability of God inside you to conquer and be on top. Daniel was on top of the province of Babylon, and the people who were under him didn't like him, but they had no choice because he was their boss. So make sure that at the end of this world, God wants to make you a boss, so that even if the people don't like you, that's their business. You are their boss. If they like you, that's good for them. If they don't like you, that's not good for them. Either way, you're unaffected. So I'll tell you this. Now, we got a mobile money number which you can use to sow your seed for the Watchman Conference. And please make sure you take this number down. I'm going to say it again. I said it at the beginning of the show. And at any one time, it's going to be operational at any time. So even if you hear these messages through recording, this is the number. The number is 0780-292-555. 0800-292-5552. Please record that so that you don't have to send emails and ask how do we sow into the conference. And by the way, do sow into the conference, because I guarantee you that is good ground, and that is something that God has his hand in, as is everything to do with the Watchman right now. And I pray it remains that way. I pray I do not step out, ahead of my time and get out of my habitat and expose myself to things that I ought not to. But in the meantime, I am sure I am doing the work of God, and I want you to partner with it, and you will definitely see an increase in your life. So I will say that number again. The number is 0780-292-555. 0780-292-555. I'll keep on saying it in all the rest of the shows. In the meantime, thank you so much for listening to The Watchman. Have yourselves a wonderful evening.
Do you want to see how Bible prophecy fits perfectly into contemporary news? What's this business about the Antichrist and the mark of the beast? Who is the Antichrist? Is he alive? How shall the number 666 be introduced in commerce? The Watchman dissects fascinating insights into the end times and Bible prophecy. Make a date with The Watchman every Wednesday, 9 to 10 p.m. only on Spirit FM 96.6. Tune in and stay on.